I am not the speaker. I want to present to you Nathan. Can everybody give him a huge round of applause? Come on, louder than that. Louder, louder, louder. Yeah. All right. You want this?
Yeah, let's hug. Everybody always hugs. We do always hug, though. I was just glad he was doing that because I don't know how to turn the mic on, so that takes off half the pressure. That, and when Aaron said it was quiet in here, and I was like, yeah, it is kind of quiet. And Michelle leaned over and said, I don't know, there's a lot of people in here. And I'm thinking, thank you. That doesn't make me feel nervous. Okay, so when I was a little boy, I guess I was a bit of a jabberbox. Because my mom would always say, Nathan, it's someone else's turn to talk now. So that way you know what you're getting into tonight. I hope you packed a snack, because I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. We won't be long. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the message that you have given me. Lord God, I ask that you give me strength, courage, and boldness to proclaim your word tonight, Lord God. And I ask that we would all be open to hear what you have to say to us, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight I want to look at a Bible verse that's pretty well known. In fact, Pastor read this on Sunday. Two of my verses Pastor read on Sunday. So I guess I know I'm going in the right direction here. It's Psalms 23, 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of happiness, I will feel no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, if you're paying attention and you know this verse, you know where I went wrong. If you don't, it sounded good because it's such a great verse. It's so sweet. It's so nice. Green pastures and brooks, and he's anointing our head with oil, and it's just so lovely, isn't it? And that verse 4 that I skipped says this. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I don't know about you, but I don't like the sound of going through a valley of a shadow of death. I like the other thing, the green grass and the bubbling brooks. You know, that's what I picture, like me, Jesus, I'm a little sheep, and we're just kind of bouncing through. We're frolicking, you know. Am I the only one? That's what I, and then I get to this valley of the shadow of death. Now, we could say, why is this here? Why is that in there? But the reality is we know why. We know why that's in there. Because you've gone through a valley. I've gone through a valley. We've all gone through something. We've all gone through a place where it seemed like disaster was coming down all around us. So we know why it's there. So tonight I want to look at it and say, so let's look at things that we need to know in the valley. You know those parents who always have the pictures of their kids in their wallet? You know, and they pull them out and they're like, this is little Timmy. This was 2 years ago. Well, now we got cell phones. So now it's the whole reel. Like, this is what we did on vacation. And there's 15 pictures. And it's just like, and you're like, that's great. That's great. Well, I'm that kind of parent, just so you know. So I'm going to bring up my kid a few times tonight. So the first time is right now. When Genevieve was little, right, so we're down, we're playing on the floor, we're playing whatever, and she looks at me and says, Daddy, I gotta go potty. So we put the Barbies down. That was supposed to be funny. We really were playing with Barbies, though. We put the Barbies down, and we start heading towards the restroom, and it was nighttime, and the hallway going to the bathroom, it was kind of dark, the lights were off, and the bathroom was completely dark. And as we're walking, and I'm thinking in my head, it's dark in here. What's she going to do? So as we're walking, she hesitated just slightly and reached her hand up. She didn't say a word. She reached her hand up. And I knew what she wanted. She wanted me to put my hand in hers and that's all she needed. And from there, we walked right into the bathroom. She never even asked to turn the lights on. So what changed in the bathroom? Nothing changed. It was still dark. It was still scary in there. There was still a monster hiding behind the door. But she knew her daddy had her hand. And that's what I want to tell you. When you're going through the valley, know that your daddy's got your hand. And no matter how scary it may look, no matter how frightened you may be, know that your daddy has your hand. Jesus said, come like a child. And I think we can learn something here. As adults, we want answers to the questions before we'll go. We want God to make it look better. You know, we say like, God, this looks like a mess. Why don't you go ahead, clean this up, then I'll proceed. Instead of trusting in God and trusting and knowing that he will see us through. We pray things like, God, give me a better job, when we need to show up to work on time and do a better job. I knew that was going to happen. We ask God to give us a better job. We say, I want something better than the job I have now. But we're not getting up and showing up and doing the job that the boss wants you to do. That's what we need to do, especially as a Christian. We ask God to get us out of a sticky relationship, you know, whether it be somebody at church or a family member. Instead of learning to be compassionate, learning to love that person, learning to be patient with that person. Listen, I know I've got people, not in my family, of course, but I've got people that it's like, Lord, this person's driving me crazy. Can you, like, get them out of my life? And God's like, no. That's what they're there for. I remember a situation. It was somebody was seeing someone else in the family and not in my immediate family. And I didn't like the person. And I was like, God, you got to get them away from that person. And God was like, I don't want you to pray for that person to go away. They were an unbeliever. I want you to pray that they become a believer. Make sure you're praying the right prayers when it comes to relationships, especially. We pray God change the situation, but what we need to be praying is God change me through this situation. So maybe God is calling you to step out, something you've never done before. You know, maybe he's called you to that relationship, to stick it out. Maybe he's called you into ministry. Maybe he's called you to be part of a ministry. And it can be scary. I know. I'm scared right now. I know. I'm not saying we're all rebellious and terrible people, and we've got our arms crossed and saying, God, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do a better job. I'm not going to pursue this relationship to make it better. I'm not going to pursue this ministry. I just don't want to. Sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes we're scared. I get that. But I love this quote. It says, the fears we don't face become our limits. The fears we don't face become our limits. I know for me, there are things that I have been terribly afraid of and thought, I'm never going to make it through this. When we do that, we camp right in that place. We put this wall up. We make this fear into this wall that we're like, I can't get past this. I can't get through this. I can't get beyond this. But fear is our emotion. And if fear is our emotion, then that means we can gain control over it. It's kind of like peace and joy and all those things. If we pray, if we seek God for his help and his guidance, then we can get through. We can have strength in those moments instead of allowing fear to destroy our lives. So what about you? What is God calling you to do? Okay. You know, what will people say about me? I wrote some things down. What if I mess up? What if I'm not good enough? What if I don't do a good job? What if I freeze? What if I look stupid? But guess what? You probably will at some point. You're probably not good enough. That's just life. You're just like all the rest of us. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 7:15, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't. Instead, I do what I hate. And I mean, man, that's all the time in my life. But I believe that the Apostle Paul Everything in the Bible is in there for a reason. And I believe that God had who he had write what he had in the Bible for a reason. And when we think of Apostle Paul, we think like this. He's a godly man. He wrote most of the Bible, most of the New Testament. And for him to say, man, I want to do better. I want to do these things. But for some reason, this flesh keeps me from it. So you're in good hands. You're in good hands. If the Apostle Paul struggled, then there's a good chance we'll struggle too. But there is hope. There is hope. We've heard it said before, God uses imperfect people to do his perfect will. God uses imperfect people to do his perfect will. You see, it's not about me. It's not about, you know, I don't want to do it because I'm scared, or I don't want to do it because I don't want to put the time into it, or I don't want to do it because you fill in the blank. When you realize it's not about you, when you realize God has called you to something bigger, he's called you to a place where you are able to spread the gospel, where you're able to share with the people around you, and you realize that it isn't about you, that'll help. It helps me when I think, you know what, I'm afraid to step out. I'm afraid to do this. And then I think, but if I don't, then God will still get his job done, but I don't get to be used by God. And that's one of the greatest things about being a Christian, is being used by God. In Luke 19:4, Jesus said, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. I don't know about you, but I don't want stones doing what God has called me to do. I want to step out in faith, push away my fear, and step out to the calling that God has in my life. And I know you want to do the same. So, don't go it alone. Don't try to go through the valley alone. I mean, don't try to go through the Christian walk by yourself. But definitely don't try to go through the valley alone. Ryan always says, we're better together. He's one of the guys that is behind me all the time saying, you got to stay connected. You got to stay connected. Am I telling the truth? You got to stay connected. And he's so right. You have to stay connected. So it's Youth Thursday, so we can liven it up a little bit. Who here knows what PUBG is? Who knows? Yeah, all these guys are all. Who knows Fortnite? Who doesn't even know what I just said, let alone what I'm talking about? So Fortnite and PUBG, and we are not getting in the debate. The McDonald's are not here. I'd be getting booed if I said PUBG was better than Fortnite. But they're basically the same game. It is a video game that you play on your phone, and everyone in the game are, they're not like avatars or whatever. It's not the computer. You're fighting against other people all over the world. There's 100 people. You can play it different ways. But there's 100 people that you can play, and you can play it in groups of four. Like I said, you can do it other ways too. But you can play it in groups of four. So I had to delete it because it was taking over my life. It's gone. It's, yeah. If Dan Huntington was here, his wife would be kicking him in the ribs. It was fun, though. But, so when I first started playing the game, and I would play in this groups of four. You know, like I said, there's 100 people. So you're playing against 24 other groups of four. Well, when you drop in, you know, you drop in and you're supposed to stay with your team. You're supposed to stay with, Justin was in the military, so he's gonna connect to this. You're supposed to stay with your team. If you don't stay with your team, and you can go off on your own, and you can take out a guy here and a guy there, and it's easy because it's just one guy here or one guy there. But when you run across a group of four other players, and you can communicate as the players, they can talk to each other. So if one sees you down there and he's up in the roof, he can tell the other guy, just come around to the side, and you go around to that side, and you can take the guy out, and you got no hope. You got no hope when you go by yourself. You got no hope when you go alone. When I first started playing, I thought I could go by myself. I'm not going to play with those other three guys. I'm going to go off and I'm going to do this myself. And I would get shot down left and right, left and right. And I'm not talking about the game anymore. I'm talking about in real life. And how many times do we do that? We think we can go it alone. We can do this. I can make this. I've made some progress, so I don't need to go to church. I don't need to, you know, answer the phone when this person calls. I don't need to be involved in this ministry. I'm doing pretty good. And maybe you are. But I'll tell you, when the enemy comes at you in a group of four, you're probably going down. You can actually, in the game, you can actually watch the your other players. And it's always player four because they're always the new, you know, the rookie. And you watch them. And at first it'll say across your screen, it'll say player four down. And if I could get to him, I could rescue him because I have the ability to revive him. But the problem is I can't get to him because he's too far away. The next thing you see is it's number four, player four, dead. And that's it. Game over. We have to stay together. I think of Moses in Exodus 17, 10, verse 13. I'll kind of give you this, and then I'll give you a little story behind it. So Joshua did what Moses commanded and fought the army of Hardword. Meanwhile, Moses and Aaron and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hands, the gained the advantage. I think it's the Amalekites, but I didn't want to say the wrong one. The Amalekites. Moses' arms soon became tired. He could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding his hands, so that his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Hardword. Hang on. So when I see this story, I think it's a perfect example of that. Here you have Moses. He was told by God to go hold his hands up. And it's almost like if you picture it, it's like, you know, you're down there, you're fighting in the battle, and you're winning, and everything's, you know, you're cheering because everything's good, and all of a sudden, you know, the guy next to you goes down. You look up, and it's like, Moses, you can't keep your hands up? I mean, we're dying out here, literally. So when I see this, and I get the picture, and I want you to picture this in your mind, was Moses holding his hands up what was causing them to win? And of course not. It was God. So we already know that God was the one that was winning the battle. So why this story? Why was he having them hold their arms up? They climbed to a hill. I believe that those soldiers were able to look up and see the teamwork that was taking place on the top of that hill. You literally had two men holding his arms up. It wasn't so much about the arms being up as it was that they got to see what it looks like to stay together, to work together. And I love that story. You never know when you're going to need help, so don't go it alone. Next thing you got to do in the valley is find someone who inspires you. I've been through some stuff in my life, just like many of you. And when you're in the valley, you need to know you can make it. Give your pain purpose. I didn't go through what I went through for nothing, and neither did you, and neither did the people that you choose that will inspire you. The person that inspires me, his name is Levi Lusco. In 2013, just before Christmas, it's a hard story to tell, but just before Christmas, his daughter, Linya, and beautiful kid, if I had the pictures up, she was just a beautiful little kid. But she passed away in his arms just before Christmas of an asthma attack. And this guy, you know, was already doing great things for God. He's a pastor at a church in Montana. And he was already doing great things for God. And I think, you know, if to me, the loss of a child, I think has got to be one of the worst things you could ever go through in life. And for him to not only say, you know what, I'm not just going to stay in this place, I'm going to step forward. I'm going to keep moving. He is the pastor. They have 10 satellite churches. He writes books all the time, great books. In fact, one of them, we went to a conference and Aaron got to meet him. I'm jealous. But she did get me a book and it is autographed. So that was awesome. And to me, to be able to look at someone who's gone through something like that, and instead of just freezing life, instead of saying, I'm not going any further than this. God, I know that you're good, and I know this, and I know that, but I can't do anything. He is doing more now than he ever did before, because he knows that God is with him and God is for him. And so for me, I can look at someone like that, and I don't place him as an idol. I don't worship him, obviously. But when I'm going through something, I can look at him and I can say, if he can keep going, if he can persevere, if he can get through that and keep on going like he's getting, like he has, I have that same God. You have that same God. We can make it. No matter how hard life gets, we can make it. Why does God allow things like this to happen? I don't know. I've heard people say God wants to see what you will do. He wants to see if he can trust you. And I don't know if they get it out of Luke 16:10, where it says, if you're faithful in the little things, that you'll be faithful in larger ones. That's not what that verse says. It says, if you're faithful in the small things, you will be faithful with the bigger things. It's not God saying, I'm going to see if you're faithful in this, and if you're faithful in this, then I'll give you more. That's not what this verse is. God already knows your heart in the future. You ever think about that? God already knows your heart in the future. You know, when God does something, when he blesses me, and I'm like, wow, what an amazing blessing. This is awesome. I mean, I look at in my last 12 months or whatever it's been, God has blessed me financially. God has blessed me with a fiance. God has blessed me with a new home. And I look at all those things and I'm like, God, you are so good to me. And then when I mess up and I'm like, wow, man, I am so wretched. I am so terrible. And God says, you know, I knew that you were going to mess up, but I still blessed you. That's what our God does. He doesn't bless us based on our goodness, or we would get nothing. You need to know that he doesn't make tragic things happen in your life to see what you'll do. He doesn't make tragic things happen in your life to see what you'll do, because he already knows. Remember that. Because you can get this idea that God is the, we've all heard the magnifying glass on the ant, that's God seeing what we're going to do. That's not the kind of God we serve. So, my father always says that we are like tubes of toothpaste. When you're squeezed, what's inside will come out. When you're going through something, you'll find out who you are. So, I had a day like that where I found out who I was. It was, I wrote down here, the worst day of my life. December 25th, 2014. And yes, that's Christmas Day. So Christmas Day, get up and expect my 2-year-old to want to just tear some presents open. But she didn't. She just kind of was lethargic all day and not really sure what was going on. She didn't really have a temperature. She was just there, but she wasn't. She was sleepy. And I remember I put her in the bathtub, and it was almost like she was falling asleep sitting in the bathtub. And I got her out of the bathtub, and a few minutes later, that was about 6 o'clock, and at about 6:30, it was like she was totally back to normal, up and raring, and she was hungry. So I made her some macaroni and cheese, the shells, because those are the best. And I put her in her chair, and I was sitting next to her, and she was sitting in her high chair, and she'd barely gotten one bite of food in. And all of a sudden, and I'm going to try to get through this story, bear with me, all of a sudden I see her staring straight ahead with this look of, like, fear on her face. And I'm like, Genevieve, what are you doing? And she never even looked or blinked or anything. She kept staring forward, so much so that I actually looked to see if she was looking at something. And a few seconds later, she began to droop forward in her chair. And I knew something was really, really wrong. Grabbed her up out of her chair. I looked to see if there was anything in her airways, but it didn't look like there was anything in her mouth. Like I said, she hadn't eaten anything yet. And she just began to go limp in my arms. I thought maybe she was choking. So I tried baby Heimlich, where you hold them downward. And at that moment, I screamed to her mom. I said, call 911. She got up. She ran into the room, called 911. And as I'm holding my daughter, my two-year-old, in my hand, and her arms just go limp to the floor, her hair is just draped over her body, straight to the ground. There's no movement. There's no life. She's just dead weight in my arms. I lifted her up onto my shoulder. I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And I heard her mom say to the 911 operator, she's not breathing. She's turning blue. Worst thing you can ever hear, right? So in your mind, in those few moments, it's amazing what can go through your mind. My entire life went through my mind. How could I ever do Christmas again if I lose her? How could I ever move on if I lose her? How could I ever have any other kids? And then at Christmas time, there's always one missing. How could I live if this is it? And in that moment, I made a decision. I wasn't going to let the devil win. I wasn't going to bow down. In that moment, all I could do, all I could say, and I remember vividly, was just saying, Jesus, we need you. We need you. That's all I could get out, but that's all I needed to get out, is Jesus, I need you. We need you now in this moment. That was it. A few minutes later, the paramedics showed up. They took her to the hospital. Scariest night of my life. They brain scans, CAT scans. They never to this day figured out what happened that night. But she's alive and she's great and she's amazing. And I was just playing at the park with her before I came here. But you'll find out who you are when you're going through your valley. And I can unapologetically say that I know who I am. That when the worst comes, that I will stand on my faith. I will stand and say, my God is good enough. And no matter what happens in my life, I know that my God reigns. I know that he's a healer. And even if the worst day comes, I know that my God is good. You'll find out who you are when you go through a valley. Let's skip ahead a little bit here. It's important to know who you are in Christ, but it's more important to know who God is. And when you go through your valley, you'll find out who God is in your life. I love these verses about who our God is. In Zephaniah 3:17, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with God, with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with a joyful song. Psalms 91, Pastor read this on Sunday. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in him. For he will rescue you from the trap that the enemy has set. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promise are your armor and your protection. Do not be afraid of the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 may fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will give his angels protection over you. You won't even dash your foot upon a stone. You will triumph upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those that love me. I will protect those that trust in me. When they call, I will answer. I will rescue them. I will honor them. I will reward them with long life and give them my salvation. When you put your hope in God, when you put your life in God, you need to know that you're putting your life in good hands. 1 Timothy 6:16, our Master, Jesus Christ, is on his way. He'll show up right on time. His arrival is guaranteed. He's the only one death cannot touch. Look at Psalms 23:4 again. Note what it says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It's not saying the valley of death. You see, with Christ, death is just a shadow. He took that. He died on the cross for you. You don't have to go through death in the spiritual sense. Your body might die, but because of what he's done, death is only a shadow. And if death is only a shadow, then what shall we fear? That's the gospel message. He took our hurt and gave us hope. He took our weakness and gave us strength. He took our fear and gave us faith. He took our death and gave us life. Matthew 27:46. Jesus called out with a loud voice saying, my God, why have you abandoned me? He even took our separation from God and made a way for us to live forever with him. Have you ever thought about that? We will never, as Christians, have to experience the separation from God because Jesus already did. He already did. That's why I say, Jesus, oh, how we need you. Oh, how we need you. Let's pray. Will you stand with me? God, we just thank you for this night. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your peace. We thank you that you have taken the fear of death away from us. God, we thank you that you have given us life and life abundantly. God, that you have made a way for us to escape even death. And that even though that's the scariest thing we could probably think of, that with you, the fear of that can be obliterated because of what you did on the cross. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Come on, can we give Jesus a big praise for that tonight? I'm so proud of you. What an amazing message tonight. What a beautiful delivery. I'm just sitting there and I want to prophesy to you. God wants more from you. And you know this. He wants more from you, Nathan. You have more in you. I was thinking about your family, how your mom and dad prayed for you. Every time I see him in this place, I remember the first time that I met him. He's just a little boy. Well, maybe I met before, but I remember when his mom and dad brought the whole family up to my office and said, can we come to your church? And little Nathan over there, he just looked like a little sad little boy standing in my office. And I said, I want you, and I still want you, and I want you to know that. I'm proud of you tonight. As a church, we're proud of you, aren't we, though? Aren't we? Thank you, God. The Lord doesn't want you and I to be alone. That's something that you said tonight that just touched my heart so greatly. And you can go through great victories. And right on the other side of that, you can go through a valley. You know, that's Psalm 23, though we walk through the valley of the shadow, you'll walk through those. But anytime there's a shadow, you have to know shadows do not appear unless there's a light somewhere. And God is always, even in the darkest moments of your life, there's a light shining somewhere. Some of you need to hear that tonight. You just need to know that God has not forgotten you. He's not forsaken you. I was telling somebody today about Elijah. He destroyed all the prophets of Baal, called down fire from heaven. He had the greatest victory. He was on the top of the next day. The Bible said he was hiding under a tree. And the scripture said he was alone. We can't be alone in this. We need one another. Nate, stand down in front there. Stand down. Some of the other youth leaders come down. We're going to close in just a minute. If you're dealing with an issue or you're facing loneliness or, you know, I'm talking to young people too. We can, as a youth, you can become isolated and feel alone. Talking to adults tonight, we just can savvy it up better and do it better, and then we go through this disconnect in our lives. The Lord wants to, He just wants to minister. What Nathan spoke on tonight, God's not angry with you. Just close your eyes just a moment and bow your head with me. He's not angry. He'll bless you even in the midst of you going through a mistake or making a poor choice. God's not mad at you. He's not waiting to get you. He's waiting to bless and to show His love to you. So I want to close in prayer tonight. Just close your eyes and bow your head. And then I just want to open up this altar that maybe you need a touch from God tonight. Let Him minister life and love to you. Father, just open up your hands tonight. We love you. We trust you. We yield our lives to you. Some that are in this house tonight, God, have facing down evil. But no weapon, your word says, no weapon formed against us will prosper. And I thank you for that, God. I thank you for that mighty standard. I thank you, God, that you are a strong and mighty tower we can run into and we can find our safety. I pray for each one tonight. I pray for my friends, my brothers and my sisters. Blessing and favor and joy. I pray peace to come upon your life tonight. Peace to come upon your life tonight. I just felt that nudge from the Spirit of the Lord that somebody is just, you're dealing with fear and darkness. I pray peace over your life tonight. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I just thank you tonight for your word. I thank you for your servant that delivered your word tonight. I thank you, Lord, that the half has not been told what you will do with him. I pray tonight for every young person, every individual that is in this house, that you will meet them where they are tonight. Bless them. Thank you for it tonight. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said amen. If you need prayer tonight before you leave, come on down. Let one of these folks pray over you and with you tonight. Go in His grace tonight. If you haven't gotten a missions ticket for the meal tomorrow night and you want to come, you'll save $2.50.